Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The state's emergency family shelter system is due to run out of money sometime this month. It's unclear exactly when. But one thing that is clear is that arrivals of migrant families have added pressure to that system. In the absence of help from Washington, the Healey administration is leaning heavily on another solution.
What they're most anxious to do is to work.
That's Governor Healey on Radio Boston last month talking about the push for work authorizations. And even as she throws her weight behind efforts to speed up that path to work, obstacles remain. WBUR political correspondent Anthony Brooks has been following the story, is with us now. Anthony, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be here, Tiziana.
Great to have you. So you picked a particular angle to follow this story. Whose eyes did you want to follow it through, Anthony, and what did you find?
Well, we've done a lot of coverage of the big numbers of migrants coming into Massachusetts from the southern border. Some people call it a crisis. We've talked about how it's creating a strain on the state's shelter system, that it's costing the state a lot of money. That's all true, and there's reason to be concerned. And a number of Republicans on Beacon Hill have talked about changing the state's right to shelter law and imposing residency requirements and that kind of stuff. But what we haven't talked a lot about is, who are these migrants? Where are they from? And what do they want to do here? And if you talk to them and their advocates, you learn very quickly that almost all are here legally. They're waiting for their immigration or asylum claims to be processed. And here's the key point. They really do want to work. We heard Governor Healey say that, and you really encounter that when you talk to them. And on the other side of the ledger, Massachusetts companies need workers. And that's a point that's often missed in the political debate as more immigrants arrive in the state. So that's sort of what we wanted to get at in this story.
So, and to underscore what you said, every person who is in the state's emergency family shelter system is a legal resident, and we are the only state in the country that has a guaranteed right to shelter for families. Let's look at some of the numbers. Anthony, you reported on number of migrants who have come to the state in the last year.
Right.
Who's got work permits? Tell us a little more.
Yeah, and this sort of gets at where the challenge is, because there's no question that this is creating a challenge and an expensive one for the state. So according to Governor Healey's office, some 11,000 migrants entered the state last year, but only a fraction of them, about 2,700, have work permits. And an even smaller number, just over 500, have been actually placed in jobs so far. So it's fine and well to talk about they want to work, but the trick is to sort of speed up that process. And that's what a lot of people, from Governor Healey to people like Senator Elizabeth Warren, who I spoke to, and I believe we've got some tape, would like to see that happen, to see this speeding up. And Senator Warren has been urging the Biden administration to speed up this process that allows these people to work. Here's a bit of what she said.
I talk to migrants who are here who want to work, who are desperate to work. I talk to employers who say, I need workers, and we can't get them together because federal law blocks it.
Now, Tiziana, some progress has been made. Warren and members of the Healey administration say the federal government has begun to speed up the process, and that now, in some cases, instead of a year and a half, it can happen as quickly as 3 weeks. So that's big progress. The Biden administration has also extended work permits for those already working for an extra 18 months, and that's designed to provide more time so that their status can be resolved, their immigration status can be resolved, and while that happens, they can continue to work. So there is progress being made here.
So Anthony Brooks, introduce us to some of the workers that you met.
Yeah, interesting. I visited a factory in New Bedford called Ahead. This is a company that customizes golf hats and other sportswear. They employ about 200 people, including dozens of immigrants who mostly work on the factory floor. And the company is a good example of one that really needs workers. I met a worker named Musette Jean-Pierre. She came from Haiti a year ago with her husband and two kids. She's now working there. She has authorization to work. And because of her job, she was able to move her family out of a shelter and into a rented apartment. And, I heard from the head of human resources at Ahead, who said simply, without these workers, we don't get our product out the door. I also met in Boston Roberto Vincent. He's also from Haiti. He arrived in Boston last year, determined to work and support his wife and two children while he waits for his asylum hearing. He has a work permit. He landed a job with the Brazilian Worker Center in Boston, which helps migrants like him connect with legal help, with shelter and with jobs. And we've got a little bit of tape from Roberto. He says he's really, really grateful to have a job.
Very happy. I am very, very happy. Yo tengo mi trabajo hasta que yo muere.
So very happy. And he said at the end there, he wants to hold on to that job forever until the day he dies. That's how much it means to him.
All right. So, you know, it looks like sort of an economic marriage made in heaven. You've talked a little bit about that it's hard. Why is it so hard? And are there are those who think it should be hard?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because of government bureaucracy. It's hard because of high numbers. And it's hard because there is a real concern about how the state pays for this. You know, Governor Healey had to put a limit on the number of people and for how long they could stay in these shelters for the first time. State lawmakers say that we're going to be spending close to $1 billion next year on sheltering families in need. And that's obviously been added to by these migrants arriving here. So if you talk to some Republicans, and I spoke to Amy Carnevale, who's the chair of the Mass GOP, she says faster work authorizations don't solve the underlying problem, which she says is the state's right to shelter law, which guarantees housing to families in need, including these migrant families. So here's a little bit of what she said.
We think that the fundamental law guaranteeing the right to housing to migrants needs to be amended to impose a residency requirement. That's something that Republican legislators on Beacon Hill have proposed.
But Democrats have not supported that. So that's sort of where the debate is right now. And Tiziana, the way I look at it is both these points of view are interesting, but they're looking at sort of different ends of the problem. The critics are concerned about what it's costing the state right now. And, you know, I think those are valid concerns. If you talk to someone like Elizabeth Warren or the point people in the Healey administration, they're talking about the long-term benefits that immigrants bring to the state. And, you know, there are studies that suggest that economies improve with the arrival of immigrants because their jobs that they need to fill, that need to be filled, they pay taxes, they go out and buy food and support the economy. So you've kind of got sort of two points of view depending on your perspective on this issue. But there's no question that if the state can speed up the process of getting these migrants work authorization, it's not only going to relieve the pressure in the short term, it's going to create benefit for the state in the long term.
So what do you watch for now, Anthony?
Well, I think it will be interesting to see if this effort to loosen up the system and shorten it can actually make a difference in the short term. Because we mentioned those numbers, and they are sort of discouraging. You've got thousands and thousands of people, but you've only got a few hundred of them working so far. So I'm just really curious to know if the Healey administration, if people like Senator Warren can continue to make progress with the federal government and kind of loosen up this federal bureaucracy and make this whole process move a little more quickly and get more people working more quickly.
All right, WBUR political correspondent Anthony Brooks, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tiziana.
And just a note for listeners, we'll be at the State House with Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey next week on the show, so you can tune in for that. For now, we'll turn to Suzanne Giovannetti, CEO of the Plymouth Area Coalition for the Homeless. Her group operates a shelter in a motel in Kingston and is working to help migrants there find housing, get permission to work, all the services. Sue, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
So I know you heard Anthony's reporting. Let me just start with your reactions.
I couldn't agree with him more. I was thrilled to hear many of those things articulated. A lot of information that the public really needs to hear. And myself, I've never met a more motivated group of people than the immigrant population that we're serving right now. Tremendously motivated, full of hope to build a new life. and they chose Massachusetts to start that new life. So definitely a boom as far as potential workforce growth. We know that so many of our families have really, from the minute they got here, have been seeking to be employed. We opened the hotel in October of 22, and we were here on the 19th of October. That morning, there had already been three gentlemen to the front desk trying to find out where they could go to get a job.
Morning number one.
Yeah. Yep. They came in the night before, and the morning, that very morning, they were looking for work. So I think that, you know, the bureaucracy of trying to maneuver the whole immigration system certainly bogs things down. Totally respect the reasons for it, but we need to move it along.
So, Sue, let me ask you and follow. I'm sort of doing rough math on the back of my head. That's about 18 months ago, right? Anthony was talking
Correct.
About the fact that mm-hmm. the federal permitting process can take about 18 months. I also know that the governor and Homeland Security and others worked on two clinics last fall to try to expedite at least the paperwork process, right? Has anyone who's been housed through your program gotten work authorization since you opened?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yes. I mean, the day you want to see a happy dance, I mean, we have little celebrations when the work authorizations come through. Absolutely. What we did from the very beginning when we realized what we were up against as far as work authorization is we contacted all of our legislators and did everything we could to work along with them, just letting them know that this was an area that needed some real serious attention. And then we also built relationships with the Southeast Justice Center and worked very closely with them. They were here at least a few times a month in the early months. And now with the governor's different programming that they've developed over the last year, we work with MIRA. And there's a lot of legal support to help new arrivals to maneuver through the system. And the work authorization is definitely coming through.
And so just briefly on this, has anyone then gotten work?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. And the coalition, at least for myself, we've had strong relationships with the business community in the greater Plymouth area. So we've certainly worked with different people in this area to connect our clients with potential jobs. Yesterday I had someone reach out to me. They're looking for an auto body person. We've worked with Cisco and gotten people into their program, a training program, painters, landscapers. We actually have someone that was a high school teacher, English and history teacher in his homeland, and now we have found a job for him in a area school.
That's great. So we're speaking.
Yeah, so there's good. I think that's the piece of it too, is that while a lot of our clients are accepting entry-level positions in just entry-level jobs, the reality is that they had, they were skilled laborers or professional people in their home country. And so now they're here and they're anxious to get back onto that career path.
So Sue, last question for you. We're looking at funding crunches, right? Need for supplemental budget for the current year for the emergency family shelter system, negotiations about budget for next year. There will be ultimately three budget proposals and it looks like none of them will fully fund next year going in. What is your message to the governor, the Senate, the House on Beacon Hill as this budget process moves?
You know, I think as much attention as possible to workforce development is certainly going to be the answer to, yes, it's going to be a financial commitment, no question. The state definitely needs help on the federal side. But if we're going to really make lemonade out of this, we have to fund workforce development, and they're doing that. We're working very closely with Mass Hire right now and getting some real traction on that. But I think that's where the housing is going to come in, and we'll be a stronger nation for it.
Suzanne Giovanetti, Sue Giovanetti, CEO of the Plymouth Area Coalition for the Homeless. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Stay with us. In a moment, how the loss of a federal internet affordability program could affect actually hundreds of thousands of households here in the Commonwealth. I'm Tiziana Deering. That's What's Up. You are listening to Radio Boston.